Chapter 6. Reuben would have traded his soul to abandon the impossible task, remove hands slick with sweat from the control column, close tired eyes and accept death. But his sense of responsibility to the flight crew and passengers drove him on. Never in his wildest nightmares did he see himself in such a crazy predicament. One wrong physical movement, a slight error in judgment, and 50 people would find a deep, unknown grave in the sea. Not fair, he cried in his mind over and over, not fair. None of the navigation instruments was functioning. All communications equipment was dead. Not one of the passengers had ever flown an aircraft, even a light plane. He was totally disoriented and hopelessly lost. Inexplicably, the needles on the fuel gauges wavered on empty. His mind strained at the confusion of it all. Where was the pilot? What caused the flight officers' deaths? Who was behind this insane madness? The questions swarmed in his mind, but the answers remained wrapped in frustration. Reuben's only consolation was that he was not alone. Another man shared the cockpit. Eduardo Ibarra, a member of the Mexican delegation, had once served as a mechanic in his country's air force. 30 years had passed since he wielded a wrench on propeller-driven aircraft, but bits and pieces of the old knowledge had returned to him as he sat in the co-pilot seat, reading the instruments for Reuben and taking command of the throttles. Ibarra's face was round and brown, the hair thick and black with traces of gray, the brown eyes widely spaced and expressionless. In his three-piece suit, he seemed out of place in the cockpit. Oddly, there was no beaded perspiration on his forehead, and he had not loosened his tie or removed his coat. He motioned upward at the sky through the windshield. "Judging from the stars, I'd say we're on a heading toward the North Pole." "Probably flying east over Russia, for all I know," Reuben said grimly. "I haven't a vague idea of our direction." "That was an island we left behind us." "Think it was Greenland?" Ibarra shook his head. "We've had water under us for the last few hours. We'd still be over the ice cap if it was Greenland. My guess is we crossed Iceland." "My God, how long have we been heading north?" "No telling when the pilot turned off his London to New York course." Another fear added to Reuben's aching confusion. Calamity was piling on calamity. The 1 in 1,000 chance of coming through alive had rapidly risen to 1 in 1,000,000. He had to make a desperate decision, the only decision. "I'm going to bring her around 90 degrees to port." "We have no other choice," Ibarra agreed solemnly. "A few might survive if we crash on land. Near impossible to pull off a water landing on high waves in the dark, even by an experienced pilot. And if by some miracle we set her down intact, no human dressed in street clothes could last more than a few minutes in a freezing sea." "We may already be too late." The UN delegate from Mexico nodded at the instrument panel. The red fuel warning lights were flashing across the board. "I fear our time in the air has run out." Reuben stared in astonishment at the telltale instruments. He did not realize that the Boeing flying 200 knots at 1,500 meters ate up the same amount of fuel as it did when flying 500 knots at 10,500 meters. "Okay, we head west until she drops from under us." Reuben rubbed his palms on his pants legs and gripped the control column. He had not taken command of the aircraft again since climbing over the glacier's peak. He took a deep breath and pressed the autopilot release button on the control column. He was too unsure of himself to slip the Boeing into a bank with the ailerons, so he used only the rudder controls to gently crab around in a flat turn. As soon as the nose came onto a straight course, he felt something was wrong. "RPM's dropping on number 4 engine," said Ibarra, with a noticeable tremor in his voice. "It's starving for fuel. Shouldn't we shut it down or something?" "I don't know the procedure," Ibarra replied dumbly. "Oh, dear Lord," Reuben thought to himself, "the blind leading the blind." The altimeter began to register a steady drop. The airspeed indicated a decrease, too. His mind strained beyond reason. Reuben tried to will the plane in the air rather than fly it. He also tried to fight time as the distance between the plane and the sea slowly, relentlessly narrowed. Then, without warning, the control column began to grow sluggish and vibrate in his hands. "She's stalling!" shouted Ibarra, his stoic face showing fear at last. "Push the nose down!" Reuben eased the control column forward, fully aware he was hastening the inevitable. "Lower the flaps to increase our lift," he ordered Ibarra.
"Flaps coming down," Ibarra replied through pursed lips.
"This is it," Reuben muttered. "We're going in."
The stewardess stood in the open cockpit door listening to the exchange, eyes wide with fright, face pale as a sheet of paper. "Are we going to crash?" she asked, barely above a whisper. Reuben tensed in his seat, too busy to turn. "Yes, damn it," he swore. "Strap yourself in." She spun and nearly fell down as she raced back to the main cabin to alert the other flight attendants and passengers for the worst. Everyone realized there was no putting off the inevitable, and thankfully there was no panic or hysterical outcry. Even the prayers came softly. Ibarra twisted in his seat and stared down the aisle. Camille was comforting an older man who was shaking uncontrollably. Her face was completely calm and seemed to bear a strange expression of contentment. She was truly a lovely woman, Ibarra thought. A pity her beauty would soon be erased. He sighed and turned back to the instrument panel. The altimeter was falling past 200 meters. Ibarra took a great risk and increased the throttle settings on the three remaining engines. It was a useless gesture born of desperation. The engines would burn their last few gallons of fuel at a faster rate and die sooner. But Ibarra wasn't thinking logically. He could not sit and do nothing. He felt he had to perform one final defiant act, anything, even if it meant hastening his own death. 5 tormenting minutes passed as one. The Black Sea reached up to clutch the aircraft. "I see lights!" Reuben blurted suddenly. "Dead ahead!" Ibarra's eyes instantly flicked up and focused through the windshield. "A ship!" he cried. "It's a ship!" Almost as he shouted, the plane roared over the Polar Explorer, missing the radar mast by less than 10 meters.